We pick up our study of the book of James today in James chapter 3, verse 6. We're going to begin in verse 6 of James 3 and read and study through verse 12. We're talking about one of the most important areas of the Christian life, and that is what we say. Our words, the use of, as James calls it, that little member, the tongue. So let's begin in James chapter 3, verse 6, and here we find what the tongue is like. Notice these illustrations that James gives us to show us the power and the danger of using the tongue in the wrong way. In verse 6, he says, "And the tongue is a fire." Now think about the fact that he uses the illustration of fire to represent the tongue. Now he doesn't use the word candle or simply a light or a lamp. A candle or a lamp is helpful. It helps you to see. But the word fire is different. And the idea is that the tongue, like a fire, spreads and destroys. That's the force of fire. It destroys. It brings great destruction to things around it. The tongue is like that. James goes on to say that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. That is, a world of evil. The tongue is a world of trouble. The tongue is a world of problems. There are few things that can cause so much trouble and affect so many people in so many different ways as our tongue can. The tongue can get us into a world of trouble, and it can cause a world of harm. Notice that he says that this is the way, so is, that is, the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body. The word members there refers to the members of your physical body. It defiles the whole body. This is not the spiritual body and the members of the body, the church. This is your physical body. And the idea is that the tongue is unlike any other part of your body. Your hands and your feet can be used to do good, or they can be used to do wrong. But the tongue is far worse. It can do far more damage. The hands can steal, or the hands can be used to hurt others. The feet can take you into places where you shouldn't be. But the tongue has no end to the harm that it can do. James says that it defiles the whole body. It gets the rest of the body into trouble, and it brings reproach on our whole being and our whole body. He goes on to say that it sets on fire the course of nature, which is an interesting expression. The course of nature. The word course there literally refers to a wheel, the wheel or the course of nature. This evidently refers to the cycles of life or the cycles of life, the path or the general directions in which events occur. And what he's saying is that the tongue decides the directions and the cycles of life. Now, consider many of the things that are talked about in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, where the Bible says there is a time and a season to everything under heaven. And he talks about being born and dying. He talks about there being a time of love and a time of hate, a time of war and a time of peace, and all these different cycles of life that he describes. And how many of those things in Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 8, where he says that there's a time and a purpose to everything under heaven, how many of those things are determined by what people say? How many of those things happen because of the words that people use? So the course of the history of the world is, as he says, set on fire by the tongue. It's like a forest fire that starts with a little flame. And then he goes on to say that it is set on fire of hell. And the word hell here is the word Gehenna. James is the only one in the New Testament besides Jesus who uses this word Gehenna. The tongue is set on fire by hell itself. Everything that is evil, anything that is rebellious, Everything that is mean and hateful toward God shows in the tongue. If there is a blasphemous thought, an ungodly idea, or a wicked intention, people will say it. So it's no wonder that we as Christian people are shocked by the way that people talk. Their words are fueled by hell itself, James tells us in James chapter 3, verse 6. Now, in verses 7 and 8, he brings up the question, who can tame the tongue? Who can really tame it? In verse 7, he says, "For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and has been tamed of mankind." This is an illustration from life that's very obvious. Men can tame or train all kinds of creatures. He says, first of all, that man can tame all kinds of beasts, that is, animals. So men can tame and train horses, cattle, sheep, dogs, cats, elephants, and any number of animals. And then he mentions birds. And we're aware of the fact that people train pigeons, parrots, birds of prey. And James is saying that there were men that could train or tame certain birds in his day, almost 2,000 years ago. And then he mentions serpents, that is, snakes. Snake charmers have done this for thousands of years. And then he even mentions sea creatures, things in the sea. Dolphins and other sea creatures can be tamed. They can be trained. But his point is this, verse 8, "But the tongue can no man tame, not completely, not fully, because we are weak and selfish and sinful." Now, it is true that James has already talked in this book about the fact that we can and must bridle the tongue. In James 1:26, he talks about a man who seems to be religious, but he does not bridle his tongue, and James says that that man's religion is vain. So we must give effort to bridling the tongue. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, verse 29, that we are to let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouths. And in Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10, the Bible says to put off filthy communication out of your mouth and do not lie one to another. So we can't just say, well, nobody can control the tongue, so I'm not going to try. We certainly can't use the excuse, well, I can't help but say what's on my mind. It just pops out. The Bible does not condone that kind of thinking. The Bible does not excuse that kind of reasoning. But even though the Bible says that we can and must bridle the tongue, he shows us in James 3, verse 8, that we'll never have perfect control over it. We'll always struggle with sometimes saying things that we shouldn't and not saying things that we should. And he goes on to describe the tongue in verse 8 as being an unruly evil. The word unruly means it can't be controlled. It cannot be restrained. It does not abide by the rules. It is an unruly evil and full of deadly poison. The words that the tongue speaks are like poison. Words can kill, literally. For instance, a lie can get somebody killed. But words are like deadly poison in another way, in a spiritual, in a moral way, because vicious gossip can kill a person's reputation. So the tongue is like deadly poison. And in Romans 3, verse 13, Paul is describing sinful, wicked men, and he says that the poison of asps is under their lips. Now, in verses 9 through 12, then, of James chapter 3, he talks about one of the worst, and yet one of the most common, uses of the tongue, and that is to talk evil about other people. Now, James is going to talk more about this later. In James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, here's what he says, "Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. who art thou that judgest another? Now, James is going to talk about that now in James chapter 3. Let's read verses 9 through 12. In verse 9, he says, "Therewith, that is with it, literally, that is with the tongue, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Notice how he begins this section in verse 9. He says, "With it," that is, with the tongue, "we bless God." We do that in prayer, we do that in song, and we do that daily when we talk about the good Lord and when we talk about God in a reverent way. But he says that we turn right around and we curse men. The word curse here is not necessarily to use profanity. It simply means to speak evil of someone, to wish harm on that person. That is cursing that individual. And James says the irony of all this is that those very men are made in the similitude, that is the likeness or the image of God, not a physical likeness, but a spiritual likeness. Men are like God. We're far above animals. And we wouldn't think about saying anything mean or unmerciful about God, but we turn right around and we talk bad about others. And listen to this warning back in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, beginning in verse 20. "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken, lest thou hear thy servant curse thee. For oftentimes also thine own heart knoweth that thou thyself likewise hast cursed others." Now, James says this ought not to be, but oftentimes it is. And he asks some questions in verses 11 and 12 that really answer themselves. In verse 11, he says, "If you have a fountain, that is a fountain of water, does it send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter?" Well, the answer is no. And in verse 12, he says, "Can a fig tree bear olive berries?" No. "Can a vine bring forth figs?" And the answer, of course, is no. Now, he's representing the tongue in different ways here, but his main idea or illustration is the illustration of a fountain. And the water that comes out of that spring or fountain is what is underneath. And this takes us back to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. There Jesus said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So the real problem is not the tongue, as far as the physical member is concerned. The problem is the heart behind it. When you have somebody that uses dirty language, the problem is a dirty mind. And, on the other hand, when you have someone who speaks kind words, it's because they have a kind heart. So, if we're going to say what is right, we have to think what is right. And this is why we have to deal with the head of the spring, or the head of the fountain. In that passage in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 33, here's what Jesus said. "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things." Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 through 35.